The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. Welcome to Monday morning. It is July 13th, so summer is moving right along. I am Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today. We are live and local at our WTBR studio here on Federico Drive. And today we're going to be talking about a very serious topic. We're going to be talking about suicide prevention and grief coping, and we have some very special guests here today. We have Sean Milley, who is the president of the board of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and we have Jenny Baltazar, who is also on that board, but she's also here to talk about a book that she's written called Urgent Soul Care, Navigating Life After Losing Someone to Suicide. So very important subject matter today, and but we are going to check on our weather first, and then we'll get into that conversation.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 80s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Monday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Lows in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, that is our weather for the next couple of days. So again, thank you for joining us here on the morning show, the Morning Drive. Like I said, today we are talking about a very serious subject, and that is about suicide prevention and for being able to navigate a loss, if you've had a loss to suicide or any loss, really. And so we have two guests here. We have Sean Milley. Sean is the president of the board of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. And we also have in the studio Jenny Baltazar, also a member of that board, but she also is here to talk about her new book called Urgent Soul Care. Hi, Jenny.
Yes. Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Well, thank you both for being here. Sean, let's talk a little bit about the coalition. What can you tell people about what the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention is and what we offer or what's offered?
Yes. So the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention is made up of many individuals from the Berkshire County community. We go out into the community, tabling and doing different outreach where we're providing resources to people about mental health, but also about suicide prevention, ways to help yourself and others. We also have different types of education that we can provide, including a presentation called Talk Saves Lives, which gives you a lot of knowledge and tools to potentially help someone that might be struggling. And also we put on events because when we talk about resources, you know, people are also a resource. So, you know, an event is a way for people to come together and meet someone that they might find that support system.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, the coalition is not a crisis line.
Right? Correct. Right. We are not a crisis line. We do promote a lot of national and local crisis lines, specifically through the Breen Center, and also the 988 Lifeline, which you can text or call 988 anytime and connect with someone.
All right. And anytime that we have a conversation about suicide or suicide prevention or loss, we always want to make sure that we touch on that fact that there is 988 as a resource, which is a 24/7 national free phone call.
Yes.
For anybody in crisis. But you also don't have to be in crisis. Right. You can call you can literally call and say, I'm worried about a friend, and they can give you some direction, and they will direct you to local resources.
Yes. And also, speaking of local resources, so, you know, if somebody were to call in or text, they will ask where you're calling from. And it's not a method to track individuals. It's to properly pair you up with the local resources that you might need. Mm-hmm. You know, if you buy a cell phone here in Berkshire County, your area code's 413. You move away, your area code's still 413. But, you know, they want to really be able to connect you with the appropriate help.
Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, one other, I don't know if a precautionary thing, but clarification that we want to just make sure people understand about 988 is that it is 24/7, right? It is not recorded, nothing like that. It is meant to be different than 911.
Correct.
So that, you know, because if you call 911, there's a package that comes along with that. So you'll get emergency services. It's just what happens. Mm-hmm. And that's not always what necessarily has to happen, right? If someone's looking to talk. But if you are someone who has injured yourself and now you want help, or you are in medical need, 988 may not be the right one to call, right?
Because
even though you said that they'll ask you
where
you are, what if you lose consciousness?
Right.
Before you can say where you are, nobody's going to come. So I just want to clarify that for anybody listening that if you're genuinely in dire need of medical help, call 911.
Yeah.
Okay. But 988 is a fantastic resource to have. Yeah. So hi, Jenny.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
So, Jenny, you've been with the coalition now for a while as
Almost a year now.
Almost a year,
yes.
Yeah. And what's your background that got you interested in being involved with the Suicide Prevention Coalition here in Berkshire County?
I have a background in mental health. I got my master's degree in mental health counseling. I've worked with a variety of different people across the age spectrum and challenges that they faced across their life. And I've moved into grief work in my 20s, specialized in bereavement care, loss work. And after the loss of my husband in 2019, kind of came back around. I actually worked as a massage therapist for several years. My kids were really young. And then I came back around to my loss work and mental health work in the last 10 years. So Berkshire County was tremendous in my healing when I came, relocated here to this area after my loss in 2019. And the people that I met through the coalition and the loss groups and the support network that I found, the community that I found, really made a difference for me. And so it pulled me in. I knew eventually I met you, Brian, at a volunteer event, and I knew eventually I would be ready for something like that to be able to get back to the community as well.
Mm-hmm. And the word ready is an important mm-hmm. factor there, right?
Because, yes.
Can you speak a little bit about that, about, you know, knowing when someone is ready to engage or take next steps after a loss?
And like a step further than that, like to be able to like offer that level of support to other people, because I think the work that I do is pretty, you know, it's there's an intensity to it. But I think I needed to be at a point where I describe it like my scars had healed enough that I wasn't like oozing, right? My wounds are not so bad anymore, that I had healed enough that I can help someone else. I'm by no means, you know, totally fixed, if you want to say that, or feel that I, you know, like when have you actually healed enough, right? Mm-hmm. We go through these phases of our life that we're constantly growing and changing, and it's not linear. There's not like this linear healing that we're just kind of, even just like with grief, you know, I firmly believe that we're constantly kind of going through these like spirals where we have some healing and then we have a fall back and then we have some healing and we have a fall back. And it's a really interesting journey that most of us have. But the expectation, to drop that expectation that you're just going to keep, like, things are going to get better. And I do believe there's hope for things getting better for people always. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, just understanding that you may have days that things feel like a setback. And I think for me, I'm in my book, I describe that when we have more days where we feel okay, and then we don't feel okay. And I think there's a turning point that happened for me where I was like, okay, I feel pretty good most days. But there's still a ways to go. So, but yeah, feeling like I could be, I had enough energy, enough healing, enough of my own learning that I was ready to share that with other people.
And I, you know, to quote something that was on your website, was that grief has no timeline. So, so when I posed that question, I'm realizing I didn't mean to phrase it in a way that sounded like there's a point where everything's ready to move on. It's a process, right? So that was the inspiration for your book. Can you talk a little bit about your book?
Sure, absolutely. So Urgent Soul Care, Navigating Life After Suicide Loss, was a 4.5-year project. It was a giant project probably because of this timeline, right? Mm-hmm. Where you don't necessarily, you know, I was going through so much. I was reliving the moments of the book, the loss of my husband and raising family, raising my kids, and trying to figure out what was next for me in my life as I was writing the book. So there were a lot of setbacks. There were a lot of pauses. There were a lot of times where it felt like a lot to write. So I think keep coming back to it. That's the, you know, was my thing. I'm going to keep coming back to it. I knew there was something important here to share about the journey of loss, especially after suicide loss. That I wanted to be able to put out, and I just kept going with it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So 4.5-year process.
Yes.
I know that when you had completed it, which was pretty recent, right?
Yes.
There was a lot of celebration on your end for that, for having reached that goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And relief.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It feels like, my thinking was always like that the book, once the book is complete, they'll be able to really put it out and feel that the book can do the work. You know, the book, because I certainly can't meet with all the people that need my help or expertise or hopefully bit drops of wisdom that I share. So being able to have it in a book form that I can disseminate and give to others out in the community. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also applicable. You know, I'll say like we're talking about suicide loss, but like really this is the, for me, the overlap of mental health and emotional well-being and loss. Like they're so intermingled in our life. They're all part of the human experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that Urgent Soul Care can help people with regardless of what they're going through. And so that's kind of the point, is to be able to like, be able to look at, I have struggled with my mental health over my lifetime, you know, to be very transparent, you know, like most of us have. And then the loss of my husband, this way really like amplified that. I struggled, was, you know, down on my knees, like in pain, you know, so this kind of, I began to see this overlap that was happening for me of how everything is really integrated, you know, and how one can, we all go through loss, like, you know, loss of home, loss of identity, loss of person, family. And so how all of those losses and how we live with that loss and how that changes the way we live our life. Mm-hmm. So
would you say, Are there lessons to be gained from this book for people who have had loss from other than suicide loss?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I feel like it's I wanted to speak to, I thought about making it more general, right? So grief is actually a pretty big, well, a big topic right now. People are having more conversations about it, just like we are mental health. I think those topics are definitely coming to the surface more than ever. And I felt like suicide loss not only was my own personal experience, and I wanted to share those stories to help others, but I felt like this is something that we don't really talk about. There's a shame in loss of by suicide the same way there is shame by struggling, you know, contemplating and living with mental health. And that I want to help to break those cycles. You know, I want to help to break the, I have history in my own family of suicide loss, couple generations back and then another couple generations back. And I know that we have, my family struggles with mental health across the board. Mm-hmm. And how we live with our grief, and we talk about our grief experiences, and we talk about especially suicide loss, that it will make a difference. Mm-hmm. I really feel like that will help to break some of those cycles. My kids are open and expressive about it. I just shared with you that my daughter went to Spain for a couple weeks, and she had three or four roommates while she was there from different parts of the world, actually. Mm-hmm. And one of her roommates had also lost her dad by suicide. Mm. I mean, right in, you know, in another country, in another location, she was meeting someone that she could relate to. And this is the heartbreaking story, is that, you know, there are not many degrees of separation between us and the number of people that we lose this way. Mm-hmm. And so it's important. It's an important part of building community and coming together and talking about what's happening. I know that, Sean, like, we've done a couple events together, tabling. I haven't done a ton of that yet, but I feel the people, there are often people there who've had loss, you know. It's all too prevalent. So,
yeah, I mean, what you're describing is pretty universal, you
yes.
know, and I mean, like you said, everybody has grief, mm-hmm. right, of some kind. So,
yeah.
So there are things in this book that will help, hopefully, people yes. to navigate through that. I mean, that's actually part of the title, right? Urgent Soul Care, navigating
yes.
life after losing someone to suicide. And, you know, that we write what we know, right? So mm-hmm. that is your experience with a loss to suicide. And I do think it's important to emphasize that as the particular loss that you're addressing first and foremost, because of that stigma, right? So let's say what it is,
right?
To help break down that stigma so that we can have more conversations about suicide, because it's a tough thing to talk about.
It is.
But above and beyond that, it is also beneficial to anybody who's had any kind of loss.
100%. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. The book is meant to meet people. Certainly that's my own unique experience. And I know for certain it can't be some of their parts that will be unrelatable or not apply to, regardless of how you've had a loss. The idea was to have the many moments of grief that I experienced. There's 20, I think it ended up being 24 moments that I covered. Of course, there are more than that, but kind of the key moments in time, so you can even, you know, flip to a page and say when you need to keep living your life without them, you know, and if, can you relate to that? Do you feel that in this moment? And then hopefully invites you in to hear a little bit of my story, that hopefully serves you in some way, and then to be able to give you some actual, like, tools, you know, like, what can I do when I feel this way? Who can I talk to? What is there for me to hold on to in this moment when we feel like we've lost a lot of our hope and a lot of our sense of meaning? So,
mm-hmm. And Sean, if you could talk a little bit about maybe some things that people can look for. Signs and symptoms that somebody might be at risk. And, you know, specifically we're talking here about, with Jenny's book, Urgent Soul Care, about loss by suicide, mm-hmm. loss to suicide, and how people who have experienced a loss to somebody by suicide, that in itself puts that person at a higher risk.
Yes.
And it's never one thing, of course, right? But in combination with some other things that, you know, if you could speak to that so people have a little more awareness of what they can look for and what they can do and say to help.
Yeah. So, you know, of course, with any time you're talking about people, everybody's situation is different, similar to what mm-hmm. Jenny was expressing. But when somebody is struggling, you know, there are some ways to identify if there's something going on. And of course, if someone does not want you to know that they're struggling, they may not be showing you any signs. And the number one thing that you can do is talk to somebody, right? If you ask someone, you know, how they're doing, you may get I'm fine, I'm okay. But you know, if you really see this person and maybe they're, behaviors are different than they typically are. They're usually a very outgoing person. You know, they are just always involved with everything, and now they're very withdrawn. Mm-hmm. You know, they're no longer doing those after work outings, which they always loved. You know, that might be a sign that you should check in. Mm-hmm. And you know, it can be overwhelming, you know, asking someone, you know, are you struggling with mental health? Are you considering suicide? But saying those words and actually asking those specific questions, if they say, I'm fine, I'm okay, there may be a time that they're not okay, and they'll remember that you asked, mm-hmm. that you checked in, and you now gave them someone to reach out to if they struggle. Mm-hmm. With younger people, it can be a little more difficult just because on top of dealing with whatever they're dealing with. You know, we were all teenagers once. We were all kids once. Understanding yourself in addition to what you're feeling can be a lot. So it can be a little trickier with younger people. But again, you know, are they going out to friends? Are they not wanting to do the activities after school that they were always interested in? You know, it's finding those changes in the regular behaviors. Mm-hmm.
So like if you look at like a list and it says, oh, you know, they're not eating, or they're not sleeping, or they're sleeping too much. There's plenty of people that's their norm.
Right. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's you're looking for the change.
Exactly. That's the red flag. You know, yeah, I like to sleep in on the weekends too. Mm-hmm. Right. But if I don't want to get out of bed until 7 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. that might be a sign that it's not just sleeping in. Like that could be the person not wanting to get out of bed, feeling, you know, just
overwhelmed
or whatever they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, it with suicide, it's never just one thing. So yes, there could be an area of mental health that they're dealing with, but then there's other things too. It could be a loss of someone else. You know, you also mentioned how someone that has lost a loved one or someone to suicide, they're more likely to be affected by suicide personally themselves as well. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing is definitely checking in with someone, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yep. And, you know, when we do talk to somebody, that we're concerned with, if they, you know, that's a tough question to mm-hmm. ask, right? About, you know, are you considering dying by suicide? Right.
Yep.
That we also want to be careful about how we ask that question, right? We want to be very direct. What would be an example of one way that we maybe don't want to say is, what could we avoid?
Like you want to really avoid very like passive comments, mm-hmm. where it could be misinterpreted as just like, I'm drawing a blank, but, you know, you want to ask someone specifically straight out, are mm-hmm. you struggling with suicide? If you really think that they are, mm-hmm. Because you know, are you thinking about ending things? Are you...
Right, it's not as direct.
Right. And then it also kind of... It doesn't really ask what you're asking.
Right. It doesn't invite further conversation if you say it the wrong way.
Correct.
Like I suppose if you went to someone and said something like, hey, you're not going to do something crazy, are you?
And right? they might think what their plan is crazy.
Right.
It's been thought out. It's been planned out.
To them, that's the answer.
Yeah, and so the answer...
And also, talk about like just being like, you know, not inviting further conversation.
Right.
Right. It just sounds very derogatory in the way I said it as an example. So you want to be a little more open.
Yes. And also you want to avoid placing blame on the individual that might be struggling, mm-hmm. or even creating a feeling of shame around struggling, mm-hmm. because we all struggle, whether it's mental health or just daily things. And you don't want somebody to feel like they're doing something wrong, mm-hmm. because in many cases this is their way to not be in pain anymore.
Yeah. So when Jenny, I want to pivot to you as far as when we talk about ways in which people can, because we get that sense, right? Sometimes if we think that somebody might be in trouble, right, or struggling, and so even well-intended approaches like we just discussed with Sean, aren't always as well placed, right?
Yes.
So how about in the case of maybe through your experiences or something that maybe you put into the book or that you teach, where how would you recommend to somebody who wants to support someone who's lost somebody to suicide,
mm-hmm.
What are some things that they could communicate to you and show their support?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, it's just to add, you know, also to what Sean is saying, you know, that the same goes for someone who's lost is like, you're not alone, right? This is the phrase that we hear all the time. This is what we all need. We all need to feel connected and feel a sense of community and that we're not alone in whatever we're going through. And I think that really helps to, generally, it helps people to, like, release some of that shame, you know? So if feeling like, okay, this person is willing to sit with me in my pain. This person is willing to sit with me in my grief. So if you know someone who's going through that experience, whether it's loss or another struggle that they're having, you know, to say to them, like, I'm here with you in, like, whatever it is, you know, it doesn't have to look pretty. And I want to hear what's on your mind. It's really important to me. And we kind of do this like blanket, like check in, like, how you doing, you know, with people, and everyone's like, oh, I'm good. You know, like take chance, be brave, like go deeper with people, you know, mm-hmm. especially with what Sean is saying. Like if you, you know, if they're struggling with something or you sense that there's something going on for them, if you know that they've had a loss, to really like be, if you see the changes that they're going through, you know, if they've had a loss by suicide or any other kind of loss, that they're thinking about it all the time, you know, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. with them. And, you know, regardless of what they're saying and how they're trying to get through the day, and it may not be like, you know, the absolute perfect time to talk about it, but I'm here with you. I'm around. Can I bring you some, you know, can we have coffee? Would you like to meet up and do this? And even beyond that, like not even like offering it, just do it, you know, just show up, just keep showing up for people in that. I think the people that came to me, you know, in my time, I was really lucky and lived in a town, New Paltz, New York. I had a lot of support. And then coming up here, I felt like people just kept showing up, you know, they'd bring food, they were with me, they they just did dishes, they didn't all ask me, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't even know how to answer things in those moments. And I think it's true of grief and mental health struggles. Sometimes we're either ashamed to ask for help or we don't know how to ask for help. So just jump in and help and be there and be present. And with the loss, it's the same, I think, suicide loss or similar, I'll say, to, you know, if you're struggling as far as carrying that shame and like not really wanting to, you know, we'll say we had a major loss, but we don't want to necessarily tell someone how we lost them. So giving them the opportunity to say, you know, sometimes people will say, like, well, how did you lose them? You know, that is a common question. And I think that's okay. I think to invite that conversation, because it does make a difference how you lose someone. And I think just even acknowledging that, because losing someone by, you know, a chronic health issue is very different than losing someone suddenly, and then losing someone suddenly by suicide is, of course, its own different layer. So to be really present with that. And to be able to say, this is not your fault. Like, this is, you know, we lose people this way, and you're not alone in this. And let's sit and talk about this. Or how can I, you know, how can I get some support? What can I do to help you?
Yeah. And just to maybe clarify, when you were talking about when people ask, well, how did you lose somebody?
Mm-hmm.
That's in the broader spectrum of loss, right?
Yes.
But. We want to caution anybody if the answer is I lost somebody to suicide, that there's no further probing as to means or methods.
Yes.
And, you know, even the press has gotten pretty good about that lately. Mm-hmm. You know, when we hear stories about someone who's died by suicide, particularly someone who maybe was famous or whatever, they're pretty good about not getting into details.
Absolutely.
Which is an important part of that conversation to avoid.
Yeah, 100%.
So I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah.
That, you know, and again, I'm sure there'd be well-intended, well-meaning, but that's it's not a comfortable thing for someone who's lost somebody to suicide to have to explain anything further.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Just be there. Just be
just
there.
Just be there. Just be present with them. Yeah.
So we are coming up on the top of the hour. We are going to take a quick pause here for station identity, and we're going to thank our underwriters. When we return, we'll continue the conversation about suicide prevention and suicide loss. We have our guests here today are Sean Milley, who's the president of the board for the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. And we have Jenny Baltazar, who released recently a book called Urgent Soul Care, Navigating Life After Losing Someone to Suicide. So we'll continue this conversation in a few moments. And please join us again for the next half hour.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
You're hearing the stories of our countywide housing challenges all the time. Housing the Berkshires, a Coalition of Change, is a growing group of community stakeholders, municipal leaders, and friends just like you who want to create a positive impact on housing needs in the Berkshires. Join us in our commitment to making lasting changes in our housing landscape. We are good neighbors, creative innovators, committed partners, and determined navigators. To join us, visit berkshirehousing.com today.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Let's have a party with all our friends. Let's have a good time. Don't let it end. We got the people.
Hey, friends. If you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8. And Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, and welcome back to the Morning Drive. We're going to jump in on the weather here. When we get back from the weather, we're going to continue our conversation with Jenny Baltazar, author of Urgent Soul Care, and Sean Milley with the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Monday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 80s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Monday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Lows in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there's our weather again. So a little funny thing during the break, Sean was like, I can't remember. I always forget the name of this show. So Sean.
Yes.
tell us what everybody's listening to.
So you are listening to The Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM in Pittsfield, and WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee.
Excellent. I think there's a future in this for you.
All right. Awesome.
So, we're talking today about, it's a light moment, which is what's important in life, right? To have the light moments. But we are talking about a heavy subject today, and that is about suicide prevention and living with the loss of suicide loss. So we have in studio Sean Milley. Sean, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Sean is the president of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and Jenny Baltazar. Jenny, good morning again.
Good morning.
Thanks for sticking around. And so Jenny has written a book called Urgent Soul Care, Navigating Life After Losing Someone to Suicide. Jenny, you want to talk, I know we talked a little bit about in the first half about the book, but I know you're also involved with sort of an offshoot of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention called The Loss Team. Can you speak a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. Yes, it's, grassroots, like meet people where they're at, group, community organization that we go out and we connect with people, not on the, on a volunteer basis, right? Mm-hmm. So they can request to, there's education more and more in the community all the time about how we're available after a loss. And the idea is to be able to go out. We know that when you meet with people after they've had a suicide loss, in the first 24 hours, the first week, even the first month, how the impact of that, for them to have peer to peer support. So, typically as a team, we would go out in a pair. So it'd be someone who has had a suicide loss and then someone who, is in the mental health field or has that experience, in general. So we would go out and we meet with them, if they called us in, if they said it would be helpful, whether it's a family member that wants it could be anyone connected to the loss, could reach out to us, and we provide resources, in the community, let them know about what's going on here, what we have available here in Berkshire County. And, number one, just like what we were talking about earlier, like really, validate their experience and let them know that we're here, if they ever want to have a conversation, and give them hopefully a link to other things in the community that can help them.
Mm-hmm. And I know part of that mission is, mirrors what one of the things that you have, a saying that you have on your website, which is, I stood where you are, right? And that's a big part of this loss mm-hmm. team response.
Yes.
To go be somebody in that responding team who has themselves mm-hmm. had a loss to suicide, and meet with someone who was recently experiencing that. And a lot of it is because you mentioned earlier, too, about that sense of being alone, particularly in this situation, especially because of the stigma that's been associated with suicide and, mm-hmm. and death by suicide, that it's that much more important to have that direct contact and say, I've had this loss as well.
Yes.
So that, because I think a lot of people don't realize, well, to the point where you're talking about your daughter traveling overseas, and she was a roommate with someone who from another country who also had a loss, mm-hmm. right? That there are more people out there who are affected than we tend to understand, right?
Yeah.
So, but because we don't hear about it all the time, if you are that person who has had that loss, you may feel very alone. And like, who do I even talk to about this? Who would even understand, right?
Right.
So that's a big part of what the loss team can bring, a little bit of hope and a little bit of a break down that isolation, right?
Absolutely.
And yeah. So like, there are some other resources here in Berkshire County, right, for people who have had a loss by suicide.
We have a loss support group. Okay. There's a support group for adults, who have experienced loss. We're actually in the process of myself and another woman and putting together a group for teens. So mm-hmm. for people to have that level of support where they, they know that there's others who have gone through the same kind of loss. I hear it over and over again that, people who have gone to kind of the standard grief group, which is important, not diminishing that. But when you've gone through suicide loss, to have a peer group that you can connect with, it's very important. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's critical, really. So I lost my train of thought. Sorry about that.
Well, so,
did I answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
So to that point about the loss peer group that is here in Berkshire County, Sean, is there a way that people can go to the website for Berkshire Coalition and be directed to that if they wanted to?
Yes. Currently on the website, if you go to berkshirecoalition.org, under support, there is a section, and it explains the support group as well. It is run twice a month, once in person and once online, and all of the dates and the frequency is available on our website.
Okay, good. So if anybody is looking to be part of that support group, they can go to the website at Berkshire Coalition.
Yes, and also if you're interested, you could also reach out to info@berkshirecoalition.org. There are many board members that check that email regularly. So if you did have a question about the support group, the loss team, I mean, really any need for mental health or suicide prevention resources, please reach out for yourself or someone else, and we'll definitely happily help connect you.
All right. Thank you. So regarding the coalition, Suicide Prevention Coalition, what other events do you have going on in the near future?
So we are in the process of planning a countywide high school dance.
Mm-hmm.
And we are actually looking for some volunteers for the event. Specifically, you know, we know a lot of high school students are looking for volunteer hours to put on their college applications. This is a great way to get some of that time and also be part of a bigger mission.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you may be helping out your friends down the road. You know, so if you are interested in participating in that, or you had questions about the dance at all, you can
reach out to me. My number's on the poster. So I can give my phone number here, actually. It's 518-810-6551. And I'm coordinating with a bunch of others the event. And we're really excited to put this on for the first year. But absolutely, if you're interested in volunteering or know someone who might want to come together with our community to be able to put on this event for young people, please reach out to me. We'd love your help.
And what is this event?
It's a Halloween dance.
Halloween dance.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to have a DJ. We're going to have some games and some things going on in addition to the dance. But it's going to be a you know, countywide. You know, we want to invite all the high schoolers to come out and to be part of something, the Stationery Factory.
Mm-hmm. In Dalton.
In Dalton, yep. Yes. So that we can, you know, there's not too much for young people around here, you know? So my daughter and I had this idea. We thought it would be kind of a really exciting to be able to bring people together. And I mean, what a better mission than like mental health and all standing, coming together in community. It really feels like a great opportunity for us in the Berkshires to really stand by each other and have these conversations and have some fun.
Yeah.
For the
yeah.
kids have some fun. So.
And that's going to be October 24th, I think is what.
Yes. October 24th okay. from 7 to 10 p.m.
From 7 to 10 p.m. Okay. At the Stationery Factory.
At the Stationery Factory.
All right. But so in the meantime, you're looking for you put a call out for volunteers to what? Help set up, to promote
help
it?
Help set up,
that
promote, but, even at the dance. You know, yep. There's various refreshments, things like that. We will need help with lots of different stuff. And also in general, if you're interested in volunteering with the coalition, you know, we're often out in the community tabling, handing out resources. We do different events throughout the year. We have, we briefly mentioned a presentation called Talk Saves Lives. We can get you trained. You can help teach other people how to save lives.
Mm-hmm.
Please reach out to info@berkshirecoalition.org.
And then when you said tabling, that's one of the ways that the coalition gets out into the public and shares those resources.
Yes.
So what are some events coming up that people might find the coalition tabling?
So the most recently over the weekend, you know, we were at the NAMI Youth Mental Health Fair and the mm-hmm. Youth Berkshire Pride event. Mm-hmm. But upcoming, we will be at both First Fridays in August and September mm-hmm. As part of the Family Fun Zone. If you've seen us, we've been making pet rocks with I wanted to say the young people, but those of us adults that are around the table are having just as much fun. And, you know, it's a way to have a support, you know, something to focus on to help you through your experience if possible. And we all had pet rocks as kids. Just brings back that happy time for us.
Mm-hmm. And then what about the Adams Street Fair, I think, is coming in September, right?
Yeah, we are typically at the Adams Street Fair. And, you know, there's other events that come up through the fall that mm-hmm. we just haven't signed up with. But we have partnered with other mental health and other organizations locally here in the Berkshires to put on the annual Suicide Prevention Conference. Mm-hmm. This year, it's October 6th.
Yep.
And it's at Tanglewood.
Yeah, at the Lindy Center. Yes.
Which is a beautiful place, yeah. I remember from last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's different organizations coming together to not just teach the community, but also mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. CEU credits will be available at the conference. We have started sharing the flyer out there, but, you know, it'll mm-hmm. be out there much more. But yeah, we, you know, part of the way to do outreach in the community is also by having these events. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a use for meeting people and handing out resources, but also creating the sense of community, like Jenny mm-hmm. has mentioned a few times already. Community is huge. Mm-hmm. It's the best resource that we have.
And now if I could just do a little plug for that conference because I am involved with it along with you
yes.
folks. So I just want to put out there to the public about this conference is that, you know, you mentioned CEUs are mm-hmm. available for professionals, but this is, we also don't want to just be preaching to the choir here.
Exactly.
This is open to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the focus this year is on, it's a little bit more focused on youth, particularly when it comes to social media
mm-hmm.
and being online and some of those risks and protective measures that can be taken and how that can affect mental health. So that's the focus of that. And so this goes to parents, teachers, and anybody, mm-hmm. you know, just, you don't have to even be, you don't have to be a parent or a teacher or a counselor. You can come. But go to the website and you can see more about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the link is up yet for registration, but it will be very soon. And that's October 7th, 6th, sorry, yeah. Down at Tanglewood. So mm-hmm. it is open to anybody. So
yes.
please, if this is something that may, you want to learn more about, please consider coming. And I also want to stress too, you know, everything we've talked about so far, all these upcoming events and the ones of the past weekend are youth centric.
Yep.
But the coalition covers, you know, mental health and suicidal ideation and concerns of all ages.
All ages, all genders. All gender, everyone.
Everybody.
Yes.
This is for everybody because it's a universal issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just those few events we talked about are youth-centric.
Right,
but,
yes.
But if you're an adult or you're concerned about an adult, you can still reach out to the coalition.
Exactly. Yeah. And in the past, you know, we participate in veteran events, mm-hmm. Men's health events, women's, everything, because suicide affects us all.
Yeah, for sure. So, Jenny, let's talk a little bit more about your book and some of the other resources that you have. I was going to read off your resume, but
we don't need to go into that. Thank you.
It is you have a lot of skills
yes.
That you bring to the table. All well, you know, well-being centric, you know, about being well and being healthy and sound. So let's talk a little bit about what kind of things you can offer to
Absolutely.
Help people out.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, I have a background in mental health, and I have my work has evolved into, I found, the power in integrative health and looking at how our mental health affects our bodies and our bodies affect, you know, our pains and the things that we deal with our bodies affects our mental well-being. Mm-hmm. And so this connection is really important to me. So I, most of the work I do with clients is really, it does tap into your body's ability to heal, helping people to feel more empowered in their life, making decisions, going through life transitions, you know, whatever that might look like. It might be relocating to a new town or a new job or a new opportunity or launching out into the world, you know, beginning a young people who are going off to college, you know, and sometimes it's parenting, you know, it's parents who are trying to help you know, their child navigate teen life and their own life, going through midlife experiences. So I've worked with people with a vast array of, you know, life things, mm-hmm. and I would say, you know, it could be just about anything, but I do have this expertise in grief and loss, so that I bring that to the table with pretty much everyone I work with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part of our life human experience.
Yeah. And you really understand the connection between our minds and our bodies, because mm-hmm. you know, you also have skills in yoga, Reiki.
Yes.
All those types of things for our body, because it's all connected, right?
Yes.
Our brain and our body, it's one thing. Our brain is an organ.
It is.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A very important one.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So when we talk about mental health and mental wellness, you know, we need to look at it as any other medical condition, right?
Yes.
So even, you know, they say 1 in 4 people at some point in their life will have some type of a mental health not necessarily a crisis, but some degree of complication, right? And not 1 in 4 people go on to die by suicide. So it's not right. That doesn't mean that you're at risk for suicide. There's a lot of variances of mental illness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to recognize it as something that can be acute, right? It doesn't have to be chronic.
Yes.
Just like a broken arm. Like, I don't have a broken arm right now, but I could next week. Right.
Yeah.
Today I'm feeling pretty good mentally and spiritually, but you know, a month from now I could be down. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we recognize that we are all on that trajectory potentially, or
yeah.
that could happen at any time that I think we can better talk about depression, better talk about suicide.
Yes.
If we're treating it like a medical situation.
Right.
And that's why I think it's important that you have that crossover.
Yes, building that resilience, I think,
resilience,
you know, is
yeah,
so important.
Sure.
And yeah, to be able, I think most of the people I work with are not in crisis, I'll say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a therapist, they've been in treatment or had care, been on medication. Some of them are on medications. But then I also, I'm there as another person, helping them, a coach. I work mm-hmm. with them as a coach. So it's like where you are today, building skills, building resilience, teaching them, it might be breathing, might be mm-hmm. meditation. It might be simply like walks. I have some local clients where we go on walks together and we walk and talk, you know, and we're able to get their bodies moving.
Mm-hmm.
If all of this is like build of resilience of your nervous system and your abilities, your body's capacity to, when you go through a hard thing, to be able to say, okay, like, how can I breathe through this moment? I know that this wave is going to come again, or I'm going to have this hard time in my life. How can I get to the other side and not be self-destructive, right? And like, and to be able to take care of myself. And so, again, my book is full of like 1,000 tools to be able to, hopefully care for yourself in simple ways, some practical ways that you can do when you're raising kids, when you're busy with all the things in your life, that if you can give yourself these moments to be able to come back and like take care of your heart, take care of your body, and just be aware of what your body is going through. You know, if you're having chronic headaches or you're having, you know, stomach issues, digestion, whatever it might be, like, check in with your doctor, certainly. But it also could be stress, you know, and like, how do I start to manage that stress a little bit better so that when something really tough happens, I'm able to navigate that, mm-hmm. right, and get through it.
Yeah. So, Jenny, how would people get a hold of you? What's your website if they're looking for some counseling or some services?
Yes. My website's jennybaltazar.com. Mm-hmm. And in the future, there are some, there are going to be guided meditations and some other free resources on my page. Right now, those aren't up yet. Mm-hmm. But my intention is to have those resources there so people can also, you know, listen to the meditations. There's some of them in the book that I kind of talk through people through. But I think that, you know, the body-mind piece is of my focus right now, and like helping to create those resources so people can just hop on. They're going through a tough thing and they can start to build that muscle, as you described, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
So
and the book is Urgent Soul Care: Navigating Life After Losing Someone to Suicide. That's your book, Jenny.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
And then of course all those other things that you offer.
May yes. I mention one more resource?
Of course.
Do I have a moment for that?
Yeah, of course.
So it's not here in local in Berkshire County, but I also work for Coping After Suicide, which is an important organization for loss. The resource guide that I have in my book, a lot of that I brought together from their website and everything that they offer. I do a peer support group through for teens, excuse mm-hmm. me, at Coping After Suicide. And within suicide loss, there are also many people that we can lose, right? A peer, a spouse, mm-hmm. a parent, you know, and so they offer very specific groups for those specific types of suicide loss. So if you're looking for some even more specific support, I encourage you to reach out. And if you don't join a group, there's lots of great resources on there.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking earlier about the LOSS team, which is local outreach to suicide survivors, mm-hmm. right? We talked a little bit about how that works, where there's support for people who have recently lost somebody to suicide here in Berkshire County. And we're typically, that organization is typically notified when there's a suicide loss through the authorities. But where there's a blind spot, as I understand, is sometimes that there may be someone who lives here and they lost somebody who was at the time maybe living in another state. So the local police are not involved in any way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would put a call out to the public that if you know of somebody who has lost somebody to suicide recently or it doesn't have to be that recent, right? And that you think that they could maybe benefit from some outreach from the LOSS team, mm-hmm. to reach out, to go to the website for the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and they'll be able to link to the LOSS team. Because it is a blind spot. We don't want anybody
yes.
to be left out just because it didn't happen here. It's right. still, they live here and they're still dealing with it.
Yes. That's an important point too, Brian, mm-hmm. is that like, you know, buy the book for a friend, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not so likely that, you know, well, it isn't, it's not that it's not likely, but you know, reach out, give copies of the book to a friend. If you know about the LOSS team, you're hearing about it here, like offer that. Reach out, be that connection for that person, because sometimes when you're going through it, it's really hard to do that yourself. So this is part of the community building, is to really offer that to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got about a little over a minute left. Sean, any parting words for our listeners?
Yeah, I would just like to say real quick, you know, we've talked about reaching out to somebody if you're concerned about them.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to keep in mind is if you are going to have a conversation with someone you're concerned about that might be struggling with suicide, make sure you have the time for them.
Right.
So if you're going to open up a conversation and try to potentially help them, make sure you have the time. Don't try doing it in between meetings.
Mm-hmm.
As you're on the way out on a Friday afternoon, make sure you have time for that person. And also, I just want to remind people that you can always text or call 988
mm-hmm.
To speak with somebody about mental health, suicide struggles. But locally, you can reach out to the Breen Center 24-hour crisis hotline at 1-800-252-0227.
Okay, and that's for the walk-in that they have on Fenn Street.
Correct.
Right, which I've brought people there.
Yeah.
And it was very good for them.
Yeah.
So I recommend that. But yes, 988. We definitely don't want to forget about 988. So folks, just you know, understand that is a resource, a very valuable resource out there for anybody. Jenny, any last words?
I think I gave my last words. Okay. Actually, Brian, thank you. I jumped in there.
All
thank
right.
you.
All right. Well, so thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jenny Baltazar. Your book is Urgent Soul Care, Navigating Life After Losing Someone to Suicide. Thank you, Sean, for being here. Sean is the president of the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention. So thank you, everybody, for listening in today. And again, this is a difficult subject, but an important one to talk about. And the more that we talk about suicide and suicide loss, the easier it'll be to help each other when that need comes. So enjoy the rest of this week, folks. From all of us here at WTBR and WSBR, we appreciate you tuning in to The Morning Drive. And please keep in mind our men and women of the armed services serving overseas. Enjoy the week. Take care. Thanks for listening.